Today, we want to talk about the topic of faith. And you realize that sometimes when we are anxious or fearful, or in certain situations when it arises, or when we hear certain people's word, our heart it will immediately be uneasy. You must know that that is because we lack faith. And the heart of God is to make our faith mature and complete, lacking nothing. Then you ask, how can God do this? How can God make our faith mature and complete? And a very simple answer is, God will use trials to fulfill this. Of course, we know that no one person likes to go through trials. And no one likes to get into spiritual battle. But trials, since they are permitted by God, God has His purpose, God has His perfect will. And God will use trials to fulfill beyond what we imagine or asked. And the Bible says, you will surely face trials of many kinds on earth. And sometimes in a family, there's quarrel between husband and wife, that's a trial. The stress from work, that's another kind of trial. And some of the brethren, they are still sick in their body, that is also a form of trials. And without saying, this pandemic is a trial for the entire Church of God. This is a huge trial. And many leaders, many believers, at this moment, they are just gripped by fear and they just remain in helplessness. And they just worry about this and that, not knowing what to do. But the Lord gave us the promises that trials will surely bring about more beautiful end. God knows our limits, and God also has sufficient grace to bring us into and out of the trials. And now, as we talk about matters of the faith, we must first ask, what is the faith that the Lord talks about? We know that faith has a direction, and it also has contents. It is not blind faith or superstitious faith or believing in what you want to believe. But the object of faith is God. And the foundation of faith is the Word of God that is used to create the whole world. And so, what we believe is none other than the Word of God and every word promised by God. If you believe in what you want to believe, that is not the right faith, but it's a wrong faith, and it will stumble you and stumble others. So first of all, we must know that faith is the objective word of God. But also, faith also is personal. So when we talk about faith, we must understand that faith also includes the relationship between a person and God. And because of the depth of the relationship between this person and God, and at the level of his faith, God will reveal certain things to him, guide him, convict him, and instruct him. And so when we talk about faith, everyone is different. Some people, for example, today, they have the faith to meet with a few brethren to receive the word of God together, to pray together. So they can do this at this moment. But some people's faith will prompt him to stay at home to receive the word of God in his own blessed way. And some people, in their faith and in their sickness, they only want to get healing. But some other people's faith make them able to use their sickness to comfort the weak and others who are sick. So everyone at their faith level, they are being convicted by God to do different things in terms of how they spend their money, how they serve. These are different. So with this, we know that is between one person and his personal relationship with God. And that's the dynamics produced by that relationship. When God convicts him, he has to do it. And after he obeyed God, then he will have peace in his heart. And so this is very personal. I have to emphasize this again. So dear brothers and sisters, since this is personal, we have to be very careful about one thing. And that is, in our personal faith, many a times when we do this, we must be careful not to fall into being judgmental or treating our brethren with contempt. Just like some people, they have the faith to commit some time to the Lord or to do certain very hard and difficult ministries or what the ordinary people cannot do. And so he will think that why do the people around him not have the faith to do the same? It is not good to judge people like this. On the other hand, those who didn't do anything, when they see that someone can do it and can commit and he himself cannot do it, then he's being rebuked and accused in his heart. And brothers and sisters, if we are accused, then it's not good for us. Because when a person's heart is being accused and he is full of self-rebuke, then he will face stumbling block in the growth of his faith. We have to know the level of our faith, and at that level, we need to hear the voice and the instructions of the Lord, and we need to obey the Word of God. We must not regard ourselves too highly, but we must also not look down on ourselves too much. I have a cousin. Every time when he saw what I did for the Lord, in his heart, he's amazed. And many a times, he will comment things like, "You have family, I also have. You have three children, I also have three children. But whatever you have done for the Lord, for the sake of the Lord, you can take the risk to go missions in certain countries. And this is what I cannot do at my current level of faith." And when he said that, he's without any struggle in his heart. But he yearned that one day he can also do what I have done. So he's very humble and he knows the level of his faith, but he continues to pursue. And 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, I've seen his faith growing. And so one day I also see that he became a church leader. So this is the truth. When a person has this upright and humility, when a person had an upright and humble heart, he's not accused when he lacks faith, God will help him grow steadily. And his faith just grow in a very healthy way. But in the church, I've also seen that some people, they are full of pride. And because of their ego, they do not want others to think that I am not spiritual or without faith. So such people, he set the stumbling block for himself. His arrogance and ego hinder the growth of his faith and instead turn his faith hypocritical. So we must be very careful, especially in this pandemic. Sometimes when people mention that we must have the faith to rely on the Lord, and those who lack faith, they will get into accusations. And then they will start to accuse Christians to say that you Christians, you are rash and you are without wisdom. And so there's a lot of such arguments. You have to first know that this is between a person and God. Between a person and God is very subjective. And in that particular person's relationship with God, God reveals different things to different people. And in their different levels of convictions, according to what God has given them, according to the faith God has given them, you need to act by that different faith. And today in our sermon, we have to talk about another thing. Since we know that faith is personal, of course we have the objective word of God, but when we face certain situations, it is personal. And so the Bible teaches us another thing. In the matters of faith, Paul said, we should live up to what we have already attained. This is a very important verse. Live up to what you have already attained. So faith surely comes with deeds. If you claim that I believe and yet you never carry out the actions, then you do not know what you have attained and you didn't live by what you have attained. Then your faith is like a mere paper talk. So in today's message, we must know which level of faith have we attained and how to live up to that. And I realize that sometimes when we are lacking in carrying out the Word of God, it is not because we are without faith, but it's because we are affected by our past failures or our past shadows. For example, some people say, Pastor, I cannot do certain ministries. I cannot shepherd certain type of people. I cannot bear certain responsibilities. Say, for example, lead a cell group. Is it because he lacked the faith? Sometimes it's not necessarily so. But sometimes it's because of his past failures. So today, in the responsive reading, I chose a verse about Peter fishing. You know, he was fishing whole night without any fruit, without any fish. And then the Lord told him, Simon, you need to throw your net to the deep waters. But Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And thank God for that. Here the verse says, because you say so, I will obey you and let down the nets. So dear brothers and sisters, in this pandemic, no matter what you've heard in this pandemic or what kind of hindrances do you face, now when you hear the word of God, when you obey that word, in the midst of this, God will strengthen you. Sometimes, perhaps right now, because of the majority sentiments and opinions of the people, they are very tensed up and fearful. So they have certain opinions concerning Christians, and they will just tell us, you know, you Christians, best not to meet at all, not even in groups of 10 or less. Now, not everyone can withstand such pressure. And I also understand that when I hear such words and things, I may be fearful also, but the Lord's word tells us, let us live up to what we have already attained. And what is the real meaning of this verse? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. So in terms of faith, God has given us a very important perspective and foundation. Verse 7, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things, and I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ. This is the greatest declaration of Paul, that Christ is above all, above everything. There's nothing on earth that is more precious than Christ. And because He's the most precious, and as a result of you receiving Him and seeing His glory, then everything on earth will grow dim. Whether it's wealth or health or the relationships that you care about. But because you have seen the most precious one, so other things became dim. And this is the truth we know. But Paul continues saying in verse 12, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. So from this we know that not one person is perfect in terms of faith. Before we leave this world, our faith will continue to grow. And at the moment where we depart this world, when we face death, we are still growing in our faith. So, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, your past successes, failures, whatever, forget them, and straining toward what is ahead. So you strain toward for what is in the future. What God is convicting you and giving you strength, you must follow God in those areas. And I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And that prize is all of us. We will be Christ-like and we will consider Christ as of surpassing worth. And all of us then who are mature and should, all of us who are mature should take such a view. So there is no excuse in faith saying that, oh, I have no faith, but only the pastor has faith. Actually, the truth tells us what kind of attitude should we have. We should press on toward the goal. So if on some point you think differently, these two God will make clear to you. The verse 16, let's all reap together. only let us live up to what we have already attained. Thank God. So we'll pause at this moment. And then when we think about faith, is it just some courage, guts, or positive energy? Listen carefully. Faith, the ultimate goal of faith is not great faith, but to consider Christ to be of surpassing worth. I say again, we always think that the ultimate goal of faith is to have great faith. But how great must your faith be? What is considered as great faith? Have you asked this question before? But true faith and complete faith is to consider Christ to be of surpassing worth. And why do I say that? In the process of my faith, I've encountered many people. Some people, they seem to have great faith. They give God huge sum of offerings and they quit their job and they go to mission trips in Africa, etc. And these are things that few people will do. But strangely, when they encounter certain situations, they cannot have faith. For example, in terms of relationship or in terms of their children, they are always shaken. Or they always cannot forgive some people. Or when such pandemic come, they cannot stand their ground. And they fall into a lot of fears. And we see that many people's faith is selective. In certain areas, they seem to be very... In certain areas, they seem to have great faith. I can give this thing up for God. I can sacrifice this for God. But in another matter, they cannot be the same. But what did the Bible say? That true faith, the ultimate goal of faith is that in your heart, you consider Christ to be of the highest worth more than anything else. And when I say this, we know that every one of us, we value different things. Some of you cherish health or possessions or relationships. What you value are all different. But we know that when we say, God, my faith, we want to grow, what are we saying? We are saying that in my heart, I want to come to a point in which, because of Christ, for the sake of Christ, because of obeying you, obedience to God will be far more important and valuable than the money, the time, the relationships, the job that I care about. So we have to strive towards that level. So if we take the story of Abraham, we will know that God kept bringing Abraham to Mount Moriah. Eventually, not just his possessions, not just his name, lifetime reputation, not just what he accumulated. Eventually, ultimately, what he valued the most in his heart, his only son, the Lord told Abraham, you listen to me, bring your only son and sacrifice him at Mount Moriah as burnt offering. So the faith, the growth of faith will bring us up to Mount Moriah. We know that, we all know that this is not easy. In theory, we know that we have to consider Christ of the highest surpassing worth. We know that we have to go toward Mount Moriah. But you and I will know and ask our hearts that many a times in certain situations we are fearful. Under certain circumstances, we are not willing to give up our comfort and our conditions. And some things we really value too much. We care too much for relationships, for money, for health. And therefore, up to a point, when that thing is being threatened or jeopardized, you know, you will see that the person cannot hear the voice of God. So in theory, we know that Christ is more precious than anything else, but in our heart, inside our heart, our struggles are very real. Our weakness and the lacking in our faith is very real. And so over here, we have to know. We have to know the level of our faith. Even Paul, he said, I'm not saying that I've already obtain all this or arrive at my goal. Even Paul said this. So, I have to tell you that in terms of faith, you must not regard yourself too highly. You must not overestimate yourself and think that you have great faith. Some people, they overestimate themselves, so when someone hinted at his lack of faith or lack of spirituality, then his pride cannot accept this, then he will fall. I have seen many of such people in the church. But there's also some people in the church, they look too down on themselves. Whatever the pastor asks them to do, they will say, no, no, this is something I cannot do. These are only people of great faith. Only they can do it. So they look too lightly upon themselves. And that means you pity yourself, you look down on yourself, and you don't want to give yourself any pressure. So pride or inferiority complex cannot grow our faith. In fact, they are stumbling blocks to our to the growth of our faith. So you must know what you have already attained. So the verse tells us you have to know what you have already attained, because the Bible says you must live up to the faith that God has given you. And the Bible says you must look at yourself with sober judgment based on the level of faith that God has given you. So you clearly know that in that area, how should I submit to God and how can I submit to God? So we have to know, now that you already know what you have already attained. So next, you must live up to what you have already attained. If God didn't give you the conviction of faith and you just based on your guts and you want to do some things, you will stumble. You will surely fall. So let me put it this way. Faith, people with faith will surely have courage. But those with guts may not have faith. Because courage is also a kind of human nature. Some people, they are very courageous. They talk very loudly. They are good in confrontations. They are like a lion on the outside. But when they face their own spouse or when they face disobedient children or people who are more authoritative than him, maybe his boss oppress him, then he will turn from the tiger into a mouse. Because the object which he's facing is not God. And so he lacked true faith, true essence of faith. Maybe he just rely on his own nature to have some guts and some impulse and some energy. But eventually when he faced the pressure from the environment and the forces of darkness, then he couldn't withstand it. So you must know the level of your faith and you must live up to that level. And how can you live? How can you live out the word of God with faith? According to the faith that God has given you, how do you live out the word? A person who wants to live out the word, first of all, he believes that God is living. And because God exists and he's living, and he will surely talk to you, he will surely instruct you, and so he will constantly seek the Lord. So when he faces difficulties or crises like this pandemic or major things happen, then the act of his faith is first he will come before God and ask God what to do. Tell me what to do. So the first step of faith will point him to God, because we humans, we are not so great. So the first step will point him to God and ask and prompts him to ask God what to do. And until he hears what God tells him and he has this assurance in his heart, then he can continue to live according to that step. And Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so you must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him, earnestly seek him. So if you seek, you will surely find. If you ask from him, he will surely respond to you. A lot of times, we didn't even ask. We didn't even seek. And we just rely our guts. But let me tell you, human courage is very trivial in the eyes of the fallen angels. So do not depend on your courage to fight the spiritual war. But you must depend on the true faith given by God. And everyone has different faith. Some people have the faith to be a pastor. Some people, they have been a Christian for 10 years, 20 years. They have that kind of faith. Some people, they are just new believers and they just follow God like that. So whatever faith, God still loves us, and these are the faith given by God. But at that level, in that degree of faith that God has given you, you must live it out. You must carry out, because if you don't live it out, then your faith cannot possibly grow. But if God has given you this level of faith, according to this level of faith, when you live it out, after you live out, you will have this peace in your heart that is different from the peace given by the world. But this is the peace given by God to guard your heart and your mind. And this peace will make you able to believe further and further. And you realize that you submitted one step, later on you can submit two steps, three steps, and your faith will grow more and more beautifully. And my dear brothers and sisters, this is the faith that God has given us. So live up to what you have already attained. Do not depend on your guts, but you have to depend on the foundation of faith. And the foundation tells you that God exists and God is living. And so when you face these difficulties, seek the Lord. And then according to what God has revealed to you personally, you need to submit to Him until you receive peace in your heart. And now let us think about something very practical. Now in this pandemic, we know that the law requires us to meet in groups of 10 and below. And so over here, we have 10 people here, and each of us has a role to serve. And in this situation, first of all, we know that this is a trial to the church. Now, church brothers and sisters cannot meet together, and we cannot be in real life contact with one another. And today when I drive here, there's very few cars on the road. In Singapore, there's about 20% of Christians. Think about it, 20% of Christians are not driving on the road. So of course the traffic is more relaxed right now. But we know that this is a special pandemic. And now everyone is living in fears and panic. And we know that healthcare staff, they are under huge pressure. And online we can hear their feedback, you know, urging all of us to stay at home, do not come out, do not do anything. Please help us. Your best gratitude to us is to stay at home. So in the church, whether you meet in tens or fives, at best is you do not meet at all. Now with the faith perspective, we must not be heartless toward these people, but the faith that God has given us have to make us all the more sense the fears of people of our country and sense the difficulties of our healthcare professionals. Now, faith doesn't take away our humanity, human nature, but faith enhances our human nature. But faith also tells us that we have the responsibility toward the government, towards the society, toward the healthcare professionals, but at the same time, we also have responsibility toward God. And in all these areas, you must know how to integrate together. And this is the lesson of faith. And so in this situation, we know that if we meet in tents, it doesn't mean that we like to do that. But this is emergency. This is a crisis moment. Even if we meet in two or three persons, it's not just, we meet not just to sustain our faith, but we meet to pray together for this country, for this world. Because God permits this pandemic, and that's something that God wants to fulfill. And when God's timetable is up, God will stop this pandemic. But in the midst of this, all the people of the nation, they are anxious, they are helpless, they are fearful. And then at this moment, what is our spiritual responsibility? When we talk about social responsibility, we must not forget about our spiritual responsibility. Now, true faith is not putting away spiritual responsibility and just only hold on to social responsibility, but true faith have to take social responsibility and as well as spiritual responsibility and put the two together. Now, everyone have their own roles. Everyone have the different level of their personal relationship with God. And there are things that God told different people to do. So for me, I know I'm a pastor. I'm a spokesperson of God's word. I must know what I should say and do and lead. But no matter how I do, I must obey the word of God, saying that we must act by faith and all kinds of knowledge to discern the whole situation so that whatever we do, we can discern what is right and wrong so that we can be blameless and pure in everything that we do. So whatever you do, if you base on love and God's knowledge, then you can discern what is right and wrong. Then you may be pure and blameless. You can answer to God and to men. This is a lesson of faith. So do not just because of the majority and the public sentiment and opinions, then you are oppressed. And then you just flow with the majority. If you cannot withstand such pressure, I can tell you that when the Antichrist comes, you will not be able to withstand it. Now, everything that happens in the world is to prepare Christians to go into the last days of the end times. But you must know that even so, God has not abandoned us. To every individual believer, God has His specific conviction on what to do. You have to seek from God. The answer is very simple. You live according to what you have already attained. But here, let me set a few principles for you, especially under this requirements of the law that we cannot meet in a group of more than 10. So how can we discern right and wrong and live in a blameless way according to the principle of God? So the first principle is we need to keep a clear conscience, and so we must not break the law. So this is the simplest. Whether you are meeting in 2 or 3 at home, or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7, but you must go according to the rules set by the government so that your heart will not be accused and you can be bold and courageous. And you must clearly know that when you do this, this is God's guidance to you personally. This is God's guidance to you individually. And so the church also gives you the freedom. The church will not force any brethren that you must join a small group, or what must you do, or you must visit a house gathering. The church gives you the freedom of choice and we will not impose on you. This is because everyone has different level of faith. You just live according to the faith God has given you, and after you submit to God, you have peace in your heart. And third, on the principle of loving all people, you must be careful. For example, if you want to meet with 2 or 3 people, so in terms of general love for everyone, first you must start with your family members. Do not get into arguments with your family because of this. Now, some youth, they want to gather, but some parents, they oppose. Then they have some objections. So we believers, we must pray. If you want to gather in a small group, there is a reason for it. If you do not want to gather, there is also reasons for that. But importantly, under the principle of loving everyone, if you really want to meet and your family members oppose, please use full love and wisdom to explain to them, and by prayers when you do this, when you are so careful and when you did it humbly by God, God will guard you and God will give you evidences. So that is the third principle. So let me repeat. First principle, do not break the law. Second, the church will not force brethren to join small groups. This is the direction we give you. And third, do not get into unnecessary conflicts with people around you, whether it's your family or your friends, because of this matter. And sometimes things will become clearer as we move on. And the fourth principle, after doing what God has asked you to do, you must confirm the peace that God gives you. God will give you peace, especially when you do what the Lord wants you to do. The Lord will give you peace. When I went to missions in China, we know that China forbid missionaries into the country, and many missionaries were driven out. And I was also pressurized when I went. I was also pressurized for the sake of my mission team, but as I seek the will of God step by step and do what God wants me to do, the peace that God has given me protected me and my team. So no matter what, you must seek that peace. Maybe your situation is not related to this pandemic. Maybe you are sick, or you have some interpersonal relationship issues, or maybe you are about to be retrenched or other problems. Do not struggle because of the environment, but you ask God, what do you want me to do? With your mustard seed size faith, ask God what you should do. And when you seek God, God says, I am with you. My peace I leave you. The peace I give you is not like the peace of the world. And that peace from me can protect you. Even when you face great tribulations from the world, your spirit will be guarded and kept. And so what do we believers meet to do? For example, now if we meet 10 of us in church, of course we have certain roles. We need to do this live stream in church. But some people, some believers, they just like to meet. They like to be together. Of course, it is nothing wrong that you like to meet. But in this crisis moment, if you want to meet together, you surely have greater responsibility and mission. It's not just to sustain your own faith. You have to pray for the whole nation. Now I want to tell you something very important. A few days ago, I heard this American pastor, Charles Stanley, and he's sharing. Now, the epic center of this pandemic is no longer China, but America. The United States had the greatest number of infected cases. So now, Charles Stanley, he's now 80 plus years old, and he said, in the past, when the Second World War came, I was only 9 years old. At that time, America was embroiled into the war, and I was only 9 years old. Everyone was living in fear. But amazingly, gradually, the people's fears started to turn into prayers and reliance upon God, and the people's fears became a kind of firm belief and courage and reliance on God. And when everyone looked to the Lord in this way, he started to feel and he heard people having this assurance in their heart that they have this assurance that they will have victory over their enemies. And indeed, when everyone had this assurance of victory in their hearts, not long later, they truly triumphed over their enemies, and in the Second World War, the United States, they emerged victorious. So what I want to say is, in same thing for this pandemic. When I see that many people are being infected, some prime ministers or some celebrities were also infected. So like very important and famous people in the world, they got infected one after another. So we feel as if the pandemic is out of control. So people just hear every day about the number of deaths, the number of infected cases, and death is so near. And so the natural response in the human heart is fear. But up to a point, when human is fearful up to a point, you must know that God is living and God will sustain the hearts of His people. And so up to a point, God's people will slowly walk out of this fear and their heart will start to be steady. They know they have to call out to God. And from the moment they call out to the Lord, then slowly courage and faith will come into their hearts. And they may even have this assurance of victory. And when they receive the assurance of victory, because of the faith that God has given, when they once again use the strengthened faith given by God to call out to God, then you will see that this pandemic will slowly die down. Right now, when this pandemic comes, you know, the church, most important festival, the Good Friday and Easter, we cannot even hold services right now. So God must surely have a very important message, how He wants the church to be purified and renewed so that we can give rise to mature and complete believers, so that we can produce believers mature and complete in faith. So if we believers, we just retreat because of the storm, and we respond it in the same way as the common people, then after this pandemic is over, we learn nothing. So I believe that in this current fears, God wants us to call out to Him so that we can produce courage, faith, and assurance in our hearts. And when we have the assurance of victory in our hearts, then you start to see the pandemic and the number of infected cases decline. God knows the faith of our believers. God also knows how this virus started and how to end this virus. So on this matter, you must restore the correct perspective of faith. And finally, in this pandemic, I should give you certain direction. But in conclusion, let's continue reading today's verses. And our Apostle Paul said, let us live up to what we have already attained. And then verse 17, let's take a look together. Let's read together. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So Paul said, follow my example. And pay attention to those who have us as their model. Why did Paul say this? Why didn't Paul just simply say, imitate the Lord? Why did he have to bring himself out? Why did he have to bring out the examples of some co-workers? No, you follow my example and also follow others who had me as their model. Didn't Paul know that we are all ordinary person? Why did Paul present himself as a model for others? So here I want to offer you two considerations, 2 points. First, Paul said this to tell us that if a person's life, his goal is to imitate the Lord, then he has the right to become the model of everyone. What God wants us to imitate is someone who imitates Christ. He wants to learn the example of Christ. He wants to have the heart of Christ. And so if the person that you want to imitate is someone who is very knowledgeable, who is very zealous, who is very courageous, then that is wrong modeling. God doesn't ask you to imitate courage or certain knowledgeable person. God wants you to follow the example of someone who wants to imitate Christ. And this is very important. I've been in the church for 30 over years. I've seen that many people, they become the model of people. That's because he had rich experiences in society. He's very capable. But you must know, it is God who enables him. If you just want to imitate his behavior and his mentality, then you will fail. Because God lives in every believer's heart. Paul, he wanted to imitate Christ, and he considered Christ as of surpassing worth. And so, you don't want to say, I want to imitate Paul, who is very eloquent in speaking the word of God. No, you must imitate how Christ... No, you must follow how Paul followed the example of Christ. So today you must be the example for everyone. What you boast about is not your gift of gab or other gifts or your capability. But what you need to boast about is that Christ is everything. Christ is the object of our imitation. Just as Christ obeyed the Father God, we should obey Christ. You can bring that out, then you can be the example for all people. Secondly, why did Paul have to say, follow my example and follow those who had me as a model? So, because if Paul merely stopped at saying, live up to what we have already attained, then some people will use that as an excuse and say, oh, my level is only up to here, I cannot progress any further, I'm only at this level, I cannot move further. So a lot of people use this as an excuse, saying that my level is only at this level, I cannot be like you. But God's heart is to make our faith mature and complete and not lacking in anything. So when Paul said, imitate me, what he meant was he's a very real example living among them. He's a church father, or maybe it's Timothy, maybe it's some co-worker. No, we are alive and living around you. How do we imitate the God who is invisible? So you must not give yourself excuses and say that you will permanently remain at your current level. You must pursue higher level. And as pastor, we know all of you have limited faith. But why do we as church leaders, we always set examples for you? When the pandemic struck our church, we become the first infected church in Singapore. We do not blame anyone. And how do we pray for everyone? And when our church had the first death case in Singapore, how do we bless the family of our sister and pray for them? These are the examples set by we leaders. So pastor also tell you to imitate me, follow my example, not because how good I am, but you must follow my example of imitating Christ. So in all kinds of situations, I continue to seek the will of God and submit to the will. Follow my example as I imitate Christ. If one day I stop imitating Christ, then you must not follow my example. So we must not having this superficial thought saying that we imitate the Lord. And then, you know, this Jesus is a character 2,000 years ago and now we didn't see him. But what do we mean by imitating the Lord? The Lord is living among you, especially through the church leaders, through those brethren with faith, through those who imitate Christ. God is manifesting His image so that all people can imitate. So this is very important. So finally, we have to ask this question. Are we someone whom other saints can imitate? Some people just say, you know, they answer, you know, only people like Paul or church leaders can be models for everyone. That's not necessarily so, because the Lord says, who is first may be last. Who is last may be first. Sometimes you may be just a mother, but you are a mother who imitates Christ. Or you are an employee who may be low in the office, but you imitate the Lord. And you serve your company wholeheartedly as if you are serving the Lord. Or maybe you are just a child, but you are filial to your parent, not because of human morals, but because you fear God. If you are such a person, you can be the example for all people. So I hope all of you can understand and that you are willing to pursue being the example for all people. Do not look down on yourself. Do not see yourself too lightly. every child of God have this potential to reach that level. So in this pandemic, we, brethren of the Life Church and Missions, you must be the example for all people. Now, this is not a proud statement. We admit that we are weak. But in this pandemic, since God has chosen us, among the 500 plus churches in Singapore, we are the first to get hit by this pandemic, and we have gone through a lot of refinement. Then now, do we still react by the general sentiments and majority view? But we have to ask God what to do. Christians cannot be radical, but we must seek the perfect will of God, and we must act rightly. And when we seek the will of God, we must seek clearly, and we must not be influenced by the general sentiments and the public opinion. So now you have to ask yourself, how should you live in this pandemic? Is it under fears and saying the same things as the general public, and every day you look at the newspaper and receive insinuations by looking at the numbers? Or you clearly know, in your heart that this is the moment for you to be bold and courageous to spread the gospel, to bless or to comfort those who are afraid, who are fearful, who are weak. Lord, so I hope all of you can be example for all people. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you for using your word today to encourage all of us, that we clearly know that we should live up to what we have already attained. But this verse also cannot make us lazy in faith. Because Lord, you also tell us to be the example for all people. So our faith is constantly being challenged to grow progressively to the point where our faith can become complete and mature. Lord, we know that humans, we have all kinds of fears and helplessness, not because of anything else, but because we are weak in our faith. We are lacking in our faith. So Lord, we pray for you to add faith to us, especially we people of God. In this period, we do not know how long it will last, where we cannot have mass gatherings. Perhaps we can only gather in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, but in the midst of this, please strengthen us, that we can look at things differently, interpret differently, discern differently, and act differently. But whatever we do, let us not act out of impulsivity, but in obedience to your will. Lord, you will surely be with us. You will surely be with those who obey your will. You will surely give them peace, that they will be protected by the peaceful heart, that their body, soul, and mine will be protected. And Lord, we give you all the glory, and we thank you. Lord, please bless everyone who is receiving this message online, that every one of us today will receive grace upon grace, faith upon faith. We thank you, God, and we pray in the gracious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.